John chapter number 10. We come to the book of John. Of course, the Apostle John here, he writes five New Testament books for us. The Gospel of John, which is a book of salvation. It's a book that teaches us about the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he wrote the epistles. John is the epistles of John. Of course, that was about more about assurance, about knowing that you're saved. And I'm glad that we can have a know-so salvation. We don't have to wonder if we're saved. Don't have to think if we're saved. Don't have to wait. Well, I hope when I get there, my works will be weighed out and I'll have enough good works to get me into heaven. It don't work that way.
Amen.
It don't work that way. And so then we see the book of Revelation is a book of hope. You say, well, preacher, there's a lot of things about the book of Revelation. It talks about destruction and all that. Yeah, but it's hope for you and I. Jesus is coming back. Amen. And it shows us that. Then it shows us what will happen after the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ when that tribulation happens down here upon the earth. But then it gives us that blessed hope. That is that one day you and I will be in the presence of God forever. Amen. I know we'll be raptured out before the tribulation period. But then we're going to get our new heaven and a new earth. And I mean, there's just a lot of promises in there. It shows us the hope of the things to come hereafter. But I want us to read John chapter 10 verses 1 through 11. Many calls this the door chapter or the good shepherd chapter, but I want to look at something a little bit different here tonight if we can. The Bible says in John chapter 10, verse number 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth in by the door into the sheepfold, he that entereth not in, not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Verse number 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pastures. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for loving us and thank you for saving us. And God, we thank you for your word. And God, I pray now that you'll take your workman and your word. And Father, you'll do your will tonight as only you can do it. God, I pray you'll touch our hearts, tender around our hearts tonight. If there be one that's not saved in our midst, I pray tonight be the night they get birthed in the family of God. God, I pray, Father, you'll encourage us to want to live for you and be that that you'd have us to be. Father, may we be excited about the things of God and what you're going to do and what you're doing in our midst. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
I want to say publicly, I thank you for praying for me Monday night. Had a good time, had great liberty preaching, just had a good time. You know, sometimes you preach and you get to enjoy it better than you do at other times, amen? And so I got to enjoy preaching, and so it was just a blessing, and I could feel the prayers of God's people, and I thank you so much for doing that and praying for us. And so, you know, they asked us some time back for 1 year to be a part of the Rock of Ages ministry, and that ministry is going to be meeting next week, and so it kind of messes up some things that I normally do with teacher's orientation, but I will be here. We'll be back for the parent orientation, but I will be gone some next week. Deborah and I will go. It's up in Virginia, so I would ask you to pray for us as we'll be traveling up there. I will not be speaking, but I'll just be up there in that meeting and being involved as one of the people that's a part of the what do you call that?
Huh?
I know, but what do you call one of my board, one of the board members, yeah. And so, to me, all it means is they're gonna be bored if they stand there and look at me, amen. Amen, that's a board meeting. But it was, we went to the board meetings, and so they haven't been bored, and they've been real interested. My eyes have been opened to a lot of things, and a lot of ministries and different things, and I thank the Lord for that. But as we look at John chapter number 10, We look at John chapter 10. Now, a lot of people want to talk about the door and want to talk about the good shepherd, and it's wonderful. Those are all wonderful messages, and I've preached on those many times. And when we think about that door, you know, there's really eight, probably more could say important doors, but let's just say there's at least eight important doors in the Word of God. The very first one we enter into the door is talked about in Genesis. It says sin lieth at the door. You know, and that was in talking to Cain. And of course, Cain needed to be what? Saved. He needed to look to God. He was trying to please God with the works of his own hand. And so the Bible says that God came to him and said, sin lieth at the door. And so we realize if we don't deal with that sin problem that lies at all of our doors, amen, then we won't be able to go to heaven. And so then we see it. There's seven other doors after that. We see the door about Noah. When Noah built the ark, what did he do? He built how many doors did he put in the ark?
One door,
amen. Now, why did he just do that? Why did he just put one door in it? I mean, you think about it, them animals coming in. Why did he, I guess he didn't put two in it because he didn't want to come in one door and out the other. No, I'm just kidding. But I wonder why he put one door in it, because God was using that as a typology. If you ever go get to see the Ark Encounter, like some of us got to go see, you see that one big old door. We didn't notice something on it. You know, sometimes you miss things when you're looking at all that. And so we took, Deborah and Sister Evelyn got in front of it. I took a picture of them, you know. And we actually took the picture. I don't even know if we went back and looked at those. I don't think it was there the first time we went. Of course, it hadn't been opened as long as it has now. But once we got through with the picture and, you know, and everything, nobody thought about it. And we finally met a guy that was standing up there, and he was just talking to people. It was on another deck, not in the deck where the door was at. And he said, how'd you like that one door down there, that big old door? And we said, well, we like that. And, you know, he told us why that was. It's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ being the only way into heaven. Amen. One door. I mean, he says, I am the door. And so he's the only way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man come to the Father but by me. So there's just one way to heaven. It's not through the Baptist. It's not through this religious creed or that's a religious creed. The only way you're going to get to heaven is accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because that's the only way we're going to get to heaven. So he's talking about that one door. But he said, did you notice the cross? Now, how in the world can good Baptist people miss the cross on the door? Well, the cross was a light. It was lit up, and sure enough, we pulled our phones out or what we took our pictures on and looked at it, and there's a lit up cross on that door. And we didn't even see it. Amen? Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, you got to watch what some of them people drink when they go on them trips with us. But we didn't see it. Amen? Sure enough, there's a cross on that door. And of course, that door, we realize that Jesus Christ hung on the cross and made a way, accepted a way, you and I, a passageway, a doorway, if you will, that we could enter into heaven. And that, he was mentioning that. Then we were going down through the Bible, and we talk about Paul's door. Well, Moses' door. What about the Passover lamb? Amen. On that night of Passover, they was to select a lamb. They was to slay that lamb. It would be a sacrifice. The blood had to be shed. And what did they do with the blood? They took the blood and they put it on what? The doorpost. And then they was to enter in and eat of the lamb. Amen. And so when the Bible says when he sees the blood, he will pass over you where that blood's going to be on that doorpost. So we see Moses' door. Then we also see Paul's door. He talked about there was a door of utterance open to him in the New Testament in Colossians 4:3, a door of utterance, a door to be able to speak and be able to preach the Word of God. He asked it to be open. Then in Acts chapter 14, verse 27, it talks about a Gentile door. And the Gentile door, that door, when they came back from Antioch, they'd been on the mission trip, they came back around, and they began to share then that the door had been opened in faith to the Gentile. That's when you and I was able to get in. Yeah. Amen? The door there to the Gentiles, if you will. Faith, the door of faith, it mentions there in Acts 14, verse 27. Then there's an open door of service in Revelation 3:8 and 2 Corinthians 2:12. For Paul to preach, in 2 Corinthians 2:12, for Paul to preach the gospel. Then there's a door of salvation here in chapter 10, verse 9. He says, I am the door. And that's why so many people call this the door chapter, because of this great statement. It's one of the seven I am's in the book of John. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be what? Saved. Who needs to be saved? Those that are lost. Who's lost? The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Those sinners are lost. Hey, I was born lost. I was born without God. And no matter how many good deeds I may do, no matter how many wonderful things I might do, no matter how righteous I might try to be, within my own deeds, I never can be righteous. I never can be right with God. But yet, Jesus said he would be the door where he would save me. The Bible says if I would confess my sins, confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And I can enter in through that door. Jesus says, I am the door by me. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. How do I enter in? I enter by faith. Right. I mean, we realize faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Hey, and so faith. For by grace you say, through faith. Not except. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so I have the privilege to be able to enter in through that door by faith. Because of the grace of God, it was bestowed upon you and I. Because what Jesus did on Calvary, the finished work of Calvary, where Jesus Christ died and gave his life's blood for you and I, where we could be accepted in the blood, we could become sons of God. To many as received him, them gave him power to become what? The sons of God. And so I get to enter in the door. So no wonder they use this as a door. Well, the last one, the eighth door, I love it being the eighth door. A door open into heaven, Revelation 4:1. Amen? That's the door for the church. Amen. That's going to be a new beginning for you and I. Amen? And eight in numerology is a new beginning. So, but when we come to the book of John, and we come to chapter number 10, and the message here, he's not saying he's just merely bread, and when he talks about John, about being the bread of life, he said, I am the bread. He's not just saying I'm merely the light. He's saying I'm the light of the world. He's not simply saying naming a shepherd. He's saying I am the shepherd. When he uses these things, so this book of John is describing Jesus Christ and his deity as he being exactly what you and I need for eternal life. Amen. So there's three words that describes this book. Light, life, and love. And so we realize that this chapter, even though we look at it as being the Good Shepherd chapter, we look at it as being the door chapter, but this chapter has a lot to say about life. Matter of fact, look at verse number 28. And I give unto them eternal life. Whoa. Eternal life. That's what he gives them. Eternal life. So he's not just merely saying that it's life, or it's even a better life, but he's telling us it's a new life. Now look back at my verse in verse number 10. This is my text, verse number 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that you might have what? Life, and that you might have it more abundantly. God come that he might give us eternal life. He might give us life, and that more abundantly. What a blessing that is. When we come to the Word of God here, we see John is saying life is the key word throughout the Gospel of John. It's mentioned 34 times. And there he's telling us we have eternal life. I give it unto thee, eternal life. And he says that never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So we see that you and I have eternal life, and this world cannot do anything about it. This world cannot rob us of that eternal life. You cannot lose that eternal life. You cannot lose your salvation. You're put in the hand of God, and nobody can get you out of the hands of God. Amen? So we have eternal life. So he's telling us about life, and it's a key word. The purpose which Christ came into the world was to bring life and more abundant life to you and I. In fact, he declares himself to be the source of new life. Now, you and I, here's a preacher. Here's the sermon. There's enemies to our new life. There's enemies to the new life. The Bible says here, the thief cometh but to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. But there's things that want to rob us of our new life. Now, it cannot, get this real clearly now, it cannot rob us of our salvation. If I can use this illustration. Come on up, honey. Come on up here for me. I hardly ever have her come up, but she's coming up tonight. Baby, y'all pray. There was a day in her life and my life that we fell in love. She fell in love, of course, with me real easy. It took me a while. No, I'm just joking. I'm joking. We fell in love. And we sat aside a time to marry. And on that day, we got married. Okay? Well, since we're not married, we put these rings on, and we become united as one. Amen.
Amen.
What God has put together, let no man put asunder. Amen. So we become united as one, cleaving to one another, forsaking all others, and we become one. Well, as time goes on, matter of fact, that first year, not too long after we was married, the fellowship between me and her, because of certain things, because I was having to learn what she was like, she was having to learn what I was like. Guess what? Fellowship was broken. She got upset with me, sweet, innocent me. Yeah, Brother Brent's about to have a heart attack. Me. See what I'm saying? And I got upset with sweet, innocent Deborah. I think it's Andrew. Deborah. Yeah. And so our fellowship was strained. Right?
Amen.
I mean, okay, just for you that hadn't got married yet, even though, you know, oh, he's the most wonderful person in the world. Oh, he's my knight and shining in my armor. And oh, she's just the best thing since banana pudding and whatever. Hey. Guess what? The fellowship will be broken.
Amen.
Something will come between you. It can be real. You know what? It can be something that's really means nothing. Matter of fact, I can't even remember what there was. Except for the birthday thing. But I can't remember what there was.
Friday.
Which her birthday is Friday. She just reminded all y'all. Send money. But our fellowship was broken. I do remember one, I think it was Valentine's Day. I'm a whole lot better than I used to be. But I bought her a hole punch for Valentine's Day.
Yeah. I was a teacher.
She was a teacher, and that's what she needed. Practical gift. Amen. With love in my heart, I brought it there with all kinds of love, but it wasn't what she was looking for around that. So there was some times that the fellowship was broken. But you know what? Even though the fellowship has been broken, guess what? It's never changed. The unity. Or far as us unity putting to get being together. Just because the fellowship was broken does not mean we weren't married anymore. She may not want it to be married anymore, but it wasn't broken. Why? And can I say just because, thank you, honey, just because the fellowship sometimes between us and God, we sin. And there's enemies of the new life that we have. One of those enemies is sin. Sin breaks that fellowship. It breaks that fellowship with the Lord. It breaks that fellowship. I mean, it makes us, sometimes sin makes us feel like we wasn't even saved. How can I do that and still be saved? The devil will use that on you. He'll tell you, hey, if you was really saved, you wouldn't be thinking that. If you was really saved, you never could have done that. But you know this Bible, please, I don't want to bring anybody astray. But you got to realize, I'm completely saved in heaven, okay? I'm as good as already being there. But down here, I still have this flesh. And for lack of vocabulary, I'm half saved. Okay? I'm totally saved. Y'all know what I mean. I'm totally in heaven. I'm totally saved. Nothing can get me out of it. But I still got this flesh to deal with.
Amen.
And so this sin, because of my flesh, because of my sinful desires, because of the things because of this flesh, I sin. Matter of fact, Paul, that great, great apostle that gave us over half of our New Testament, guess what he had a problem with? The flesh. Matter of fact, he said he had to buffet it. That was not buffet, Brother Bo. It was buffet. It was buffet. That means he had to beat it back. He had to beat it down. Amen? We have to beat those things down. And this whole flesh will constantly, Dr. Seitler, at the time he said this, I believe he was 85 years old. He said, I've got one foot in the grave. One foot on a banana peel. And he said, the devil still bothers me and tries to trip me up and tries to cause me to fall. I'm telling you, it's an endless thing. It's so flesh. It'll continue to bother us to the day we die. So we realize there's enemies of the of the of new life. Satan, that great deceiver. Amen. He's an enemy of the new life. Satan, Revelation 23 said this, said, and he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, talking about Satan, and the seal set upon him that he should not deceive the nations. I mean, he is so great that he can deceive the nations. The Bible says that his ministries are like angels of light. Be transformed. I mean, they be transformed. It's amazing what Satan can use. I mean, he's sly. He's slick. He's crafty. We see that. Ephesians said it like this, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. What's that word sleight really mean? By the sleight of men. That means being deceived by the logic of men. By their logic, you know. I mean, their philosophy of men. You know what? This whole world's philosophy will get in you. And you'll think this life is all about you. That's the world's philosophy. Uno, number one. What's in this for me? Amen. What do I get out of this? And so if we don't watch it, that kind of philosophy will get in our heart. And then we're by the lying in wait. We said we're by and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. What's that cunning craftiness? That's when people use all kinds of deceiving objects or illusions or things. So Satan is a master. And this world is a master to make things look better than what they are. If I could put it this way, Satan shows you a real shiny apple, but the only side he shows you is the side that don't have the worm on it. Wormhole on it. Okay? So, I'm telling you, deception, Satan wants to deceive. Now look at my text, 1 Timothy 10. Look at my text. The Bible says that he's a thief. The thief cometh but to steal and to kill and destroy. I don't have time to preach all three of these. I don't want to be too long tonight. But these are enemies. This is enemies of the new life. He's like a thief, Satan is. He robs us. He steals from us. I'm telling you, he wants to steal from us. How can Satan steal things from us? You know, Satan can steal your time. Redeeming the time, the Bible says, for the days are evil. He can steal your time. He can cause you to waste your time. I'm telling you, a lot of us, I'm preaching it, me too. If we don't watch it, we waste our time. And we say, you know, I don't have time to read my Bible. Oh, you have time to read your Bible. Do you realize you have 24 hours in the day? You realize Sister Kate has 24 hours in the day. Brother Hub has 24 hours in the day. Pastor McCulley has 24 hours in the day. Amen. Brother Carver has 26 hours in the day. No, it don't change like that. Amen. We all have the amount of time, the same amount of time. You say, I don't understand it. They have time to read their Bible. They have time to pray. They have time to do that. You know why they do that? Because they make time to do it. And they don't make new time because we all just got 24 hours. It's a priority that we have. Have you not found in your life, if you prioritize, if you have to make something a priority, it gets done?
You're right.
Yeah. It does. If you make it a priority in your life, usually it gets done. You say, what's deception? A diet. But either that, everything else gets done. Amen. And so the devil wants to steal from us. But I mean, not only is he deceptive, but he's destructive. He wants to kill and to destroy. See, he wants. You don't realize it, but every Christian sitting in this building, there's an X on you. Satan would love to destroy your life. He'd love to break up your marriage. He'd love, you young people, he'd love to mar your testimony. He'd love to cause you to lose your faith, if you will. Or become faithless or become unfaithful. Oh, I'm telling you, he wants to rob. He wants to steal. He wants to kill. He wants to destroy. That's what Satan wants to do. It's enemies against our new life. Look at the verse. The thief comes not but to steal and to kill and destroy. But notice what God has come to do. I have come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. Now, I'm already going to tell you this. Some of y'all are going to throw this over your shoulder and not even think about it. But you know what this verse is telling us? It's telling us if we live for the Lord, the life we live for the Lord will be a greater life. We'll reap greater benefits. Amen. And we'll have greater peace, greater faith, greater enjoyment. Amen. So the world looks like they're enjoying everything. But can you imagine? You can have the most fun that anybody could ever have, but then die in your sins and go to hell and live for all eternity in hell? What shall profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? What would it profit a man if he done that? What would profit him nothing? This world is, hey, this world is 75 years or less. This world is 100 years or less. This world is 125 years or less. As far as I know, anybody over 125. Amen? Or less. Our life is fleeting. It's leaving here. The second law of thermodynamics is taking place in our life. Hey, I'm not getting stronger. I'm getting weaker. I mean, as Brother Ken tells me, I've already hit 50. And he said, it's downhill from there. Amen? You know, it's just gone. You know, it's over. Amen? And so what I'm trying to say is, this life is going to be gone. And you've got to admit, some of the most wonderful things that we enjoy because of God and because of what He's done in our life.
Amen.
No greater joy than to see that my children walk in truth. That's what the Bible says. No greater joy than to see that. Oh, man. We have an enemy. And that enemy wants us to deceive us. He wants to destroy us. And he wants us to, you know what he's done? She's going to go. What he's done, he's deceived. And what he's pictured to you young people and what he's pictured to people today, you're living for the Lord, you know what? You're not enjoying life. You're not living it up. Boy, you're being robbed of the joy of young age. You're being robbed of the joy of going out and sowing wild oats. And you're being robbed. Oh, and some of you bought into it. Now, you're here on Wednesday night, and I thank you for being here on Wednesday night. And I know you don't have to be. If you don't watch it, oh, I got to go to church. Amen? Oh, got to read my Bible. Well, I'm going to pray real fast. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done. Blah, 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 blah. I got my praying in. Amen. Oh, I got to do this. Well, you know I can't do that. That ain't Christian. That ain't right. They're going to go out and have fun. And I only talk about the work and talking about going out and having fun. They're going to go out and do some things. And some of the things maybe they're doing maybe not be wrong. But you know the Bible says it's stained from all appearance of evil. And you know there may be, and you realize some evil is going to be taking place. Well, I wish I could go with them. And I wish I could enjoy the things that they're enjoying in the flesh. Amen. You said, preacher, why am I preaching? I know that. I was a teenager one day. I know for some of y'all it seems like it's a long time ago, but it was just a few weeks ago. For me, just a few years ago. And I believe Satan's lie. I believe his lie. And you know what I found out? I found out exactly what the Bible says. There's only pleasure in sin for a season. Whatsoever you sow, you should reap. The way of a transgressor is hard. That's what I found out. I found out it wasn't worth living that life. Since I got back in church or dedicated my life to the Lord, started doing what He wanted me to do, that's when I started living. That's when I started having an abundant life. That's when I was started being blessed.
Amen.
Don't let Satan lie to you. There's an enemy to our new life. There's an enemy. It's us. It's Satan. It's society. It's situations around us. Don't be drawn in by it. Don't be sucked in by it. Oh, if I could just get that car, I'd be the happiest person in the world. You'll get that car and they won't be a year, in less than a year, you'll want a different one. Well, if I just could get that house, oh man, if I could just get that, you'll get that house and it won't be another year. Well, that's a nicer house down the road now. You think we could build one like that? Amen. This world will not satisfy you. We're standing our heads bowed. He said he wants to give us life, and he wants to give it more abundantly. As we're standing, she's playing. What's God saying to you tonight? What's he saying to you?